The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Okay, so love becomes meaningful because of time, the limitations of time, of finitude, and for anything to matter, we actually need anicca, impermanence. And you put differently, meaning and finitude are linked. Our love matters in some sense because it ends. And immortality would destroy our meaning. Right? In the superhero movies, like a character who could absolutely never even be hurt, there would be no drama at all. So, finitude, mortality, loss, the inevitability of grief that's encoded in each moment of love. And that's part of why I like to elevate grief above the swamp of afflictive feeling. And people are often grateful when they're given permission to grieve, to know it as fully part of the path. And the traditional phrase of what the Dharma delivers us beyond is the fruit of practice brings us beyond grief, sorrow, lamentation, and despair. But I've never loved that phrase. And I don't really think that grief fits neatly into one of the categories of greed, hate, and delusion, the wellsprings of suffering, greed, hate, delusion. Grief, where does grief fit? Maybe you say aversion, hatred, I don't know. Doesn't fit that neatly to my mind. And it's always struck me as defensive and detached to say, if we completely understood impermanence, we wouldn't suffer in the wake of loss. But understanding anicca does not imply the absence of grief. I want my Buddha to grieve, and that is maybe controversial, but I want my Buddha to grieve. And some practitioners are just afraid, I think, to feel the full weight of grief, its full weight, so they construct a version of the path where they don't have to. It's defensive. And as I said yesterday, we are cultivating a love thoroughly infused with wisdom. And wisdom crucially involves understanding impermanence. And so a love uninformed by grief is a naive love. As far as I can tell, the only redemptions for grief are something like love and art, more love and art. And Pema Chodron wrote that grief is completely pregnant with bodhicitta, from the Tibetan tradition, kind of awakened heart. Grief is completely pregnant with bodhicitta. This work is for ourselves, but also for community, society. The failure to grieve spills out, has consequences, and some of the derangement of hatred that we witness is so ascendant in this country. It strikes me that, yeah, full grieving process does not leave hatred in its wake. That might be a facet of the grieving process, but when it's mature, there's no hatred left. And I cannot imagine a kind of spiritual life entirely divorced from grief. And even when it's not a specific loss, the growing pains of Dharma often feel like grieving. That's, like how children get like muscular pains, growing pains or something. The way we grow on this path, not always, but often, feels like something is being lost, some grieving process is unfolding in our heart. The insight tradition, insight really means insight into the three characteristics, dukkha, anicca, anatta, unsatisfactoriness, impermanence, not self. The tremble at the heart of all things, and that tremble implies dukkha and anatta. That pleasure would have to stay very still in order to be finally fulfilling, but it does not. There would have to be an unchanging essence at the center of our being, but we do not find it. And so we want to allow anicca to inform our love, our interpersonal life. And we're so on guard about change, and yet the wild thing is that change, when it comes, almost always startles us. I'm practicing, I'm reminding myself all the time about anicca. And yet often when things change, I realize that I've tacitly been assuming permanence. And for animals like us, this may be unavoidable, that grief may be an irreducible part of Dharma life when we invest our heart deeply in relations that end. Sometimes that's another person, and sometimes that's an ethical pursuit, a cause. We tie our heart to that too. Yeah, fair enough. And we're separate beings, but love fundamentally intermingles our being with others. Our body is separate, but our sense of self really is not separate. Our model of ourselves literally involves the other. And when one has given one's heart fully enough, the other literally becomes woven into our self model. And the presence of another who is loved is grafted into the very sense of who we are. And when, if, when that being is lost, our sense of who we are is fundamentally altered. And that's why I think people in deep grief often say something like, there is a part of me that is missing. That's very interesting language. There's a part of me that is missing. And it's sometimes like the neurological phenomena of phantom limb pain, a kind of amputation, and yet the pain is still sensed where the limb was. The absence that is more present than anything. People do not pass away, they die, and then they stay, writes Naomi Shihab Nye. And so death is not the end of life, but the center of life. And how tenderly can we open to that? You know? Because if we can, every day of our life becomes poignant. The poignancy is all around us if we're not pretending we'll live forever. And then there is great gratitude for what's here. Great gratitude amidst this fleeting dream of life bookended by eternity. Bookended by eternity, and yet here we are on YouTube together. It's so easy to lose sight of the wildness of having been born. Now we talk so much about equanimity with imperfection, but what about equanimity with pleasure, with what's here? And equanimity turns that pleasure into deep satisfaction and gratitude. Can we perceive that interpersonally? And sometimes, prompted by art, you know, I've sort of experimented. Okay, I've already died. This is the afterlife. Life just demands kind of appreciation. Some level, when there's less fear about the end, it's just like gravy. And all of our life can feel kind of like that. All of our life, you know, we're all living on borrowed time in some way. And this breeds a very deep gratitude. And yet, in the face of grief, we do not have to find the perfect consolation against the changingness of all things. There is, I feel, some measure of inconsolability in the tragedies and pain of life. Okay. I don't need to medicate every wound. It's okay. I'll live deeply anyway. Offer this for your consideration. So for your homework, maybe it's gratitude, you know, not Hallmark card, New Age gratitude, like not gratitude despite dukkha and anicca, but because of dukkha and anicca. See you tomorrow.